So my favorite Bible verse happens to be Psalm 37, 5. In fact, it is even on our tombstone. Believe it or not, when my first wife died in 2000, my daughter designed the tombstone, and she put my wife's favorite Bible verse, Colossians 3:17, just a reference, and mine, Psalm 37:5. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But here we go with the story first. In September 1959, that's way back, my younger sister was attending the Pottsville Youth for Christ Saturday night rallies with a group of other teenagers from Shenandoah and surrounding areas. See, I was born in Shenandoah, and that's where I grew up in the coal regions. Yes, I even cracked coal as early as 3 years old. They were starting a Bible quizzing program and needed somebody out of high school to be the coach, so they drafted me. They committed to being the best they could be. They went undefeated and won the championship of the 6 Bible clubs in Schuylkill County that were quizzing. Through them, I started attending the rallies because, they were winning every week. And when the program started, the winning team quizzed the following week against another team. And like I said, they were winning. So then I was asked to serve as the assistant coach for the team of the top 6 quizzers from Schuylkill County going to Ocean City Eastern Area YFC Conference. They had started a Teens Involved program, which included Bible quizzing, various talents, storytelling, and even song leading. In fact, in Psalm 37:23, we have a song that happened to turn out to be the winning song leader's work. And if you look at it, it says, of course, this is in the King James Version. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. That's in verse 23. Now, I'm not a good singer, but anyway, I wanted you to hear that. And that song has stuck with me since 1960. Then the funny thing was, Monday morning, the first day of quizzing, we had a 6 a.m. quiz practice in the lobby of the hotel where we were staying. And God had been working on my heart for months, including wrecking our car Christmas morning of 1959. We had been out Christmas caroling all over Schuylkill County, and on the way home I fell asleep and ran over a drainage ditch and damaged the car. And so at the end of the practice, I surrendered my life to the Lord. I said, Lord, I do whatever you want, wherever you want, and whenever you want it. And when I did that, I didn't realize some of the things that were going to happen in these next years. That was June 25th, 1960. And then in October 1960, my younger sister and I began holding 3 after-school Good News Clubs per week for Child Evangelism Fellowship of Schuylkill County. We traveled 5 miles for 2 of the clubs and 14 miles for the 3rd club. In those clubs, we had a time of singing, a missionary story, a Bible lesson, and that year it was on the Old Testament patriarchs, and teaching a Bible verse. And 1 week, the verse was Psalm 37:5. In those days, we used the King James Version of the Bible. We taught the reference first, then the verse, and then repeated the reference. Our reasoning for saying the reference twice was that you would learn where in the Bible the verse is located. That's like saying you have a friend living in Lebanon and you know the address where the person lives, so you can go right to it. But if you don't know the address, it can take you some time finding it because you just don't know where the person lives. In fact, right now, I would have a tough time finding where Wendell is because I never checked on it. So I learned the verse this way. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Psalm 37:5. So that's our reasoning for doing it that way. In the New American Standard Version, which we are using now, we have it this way. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. Psalm 37:5 in the Living Bible, we have the verse, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him to help you do it, and he will. I didn't repeat the verse. Psalm 37:5. When I commit things to the Lord and trust him, it is amazing how things work out. But when I try to do things without committing it to the Lord, almost always it didn't work out the way I hoped. Well, let's look at some parts of chapter 37. It opens, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as light and your judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. This psalm opens by telling us not to be worried about evildoers or want to be like them. It may seem that they are getting away with things while we are not. But God tells us they will wither like the grass and fade like the green herb. You know, you just don't sow the grass or green herb. You must water it and cultivate it. In fact, I remember one summer when we didn't have rain for weeks. The green grass started to shrivel, turn brown and die. There were severe water restrictions. So many homeowners who had started new lawns that spring ended the summer without that luscious lawn they were looking for. Look what verse 3 of Psalm 37 says. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate it. Trust in the Lord. Dwell in the land. If you are going to dwell in the land, that means you will be living among many different kinds of people. But God tells us to cultivate faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful to Him. Look at verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I can remember serving in the Army. Yes, I did that between 1962 and 1964. I was drafted after finishing my apprenticeship in printing. And after basic training, I would have been scheduled to be shipped to the Army Printing School as an instructor. But I had a desire to do something else during my service time because I figured my life work would be in printing. God gave me the desire of my heart. I was assigned to the Army Administration School, where my typing speed went from 40 words per minute to 87 words per minute in those 10 weeks. And then I went to Chaplain's Assistant School, after which I was assigned to a chaplain at Fort Dix, New Jersey, in a training regiment. And what blessings I received by helping him daily in the various things that he was involved in. And then several months later, I ended up with another chaplain in the engineer battalion because his assistant couldn't get along with the guys in the barracks. Actually, the post chaplain could have just assigned me, but he called me to his office one day and said to me, "Would you mind going over to the engineer battalion?" I said, "No, I wouldn't mind. I'll go." So when I was moving into the barracks, the tough guy of the platoon was ready to pick on me, just like he picked on the last guy. But the deputy commander's driver, who was a Puerto Rican, rattled off his 12 names and told him, "Don't you try anything, or the last name he used, Chico, will take care of the tough guy." We will see what kind of guy he is. And that became a great year of service to the Lord and the men of the battalion, because I committed my way unto the Lord at that time. And after the service, I planned to get married. The place my future wife didn't want to go was Wilkes-Barre or Scranton. The only place I could find a job was for International Textbook Company Printing Division in Scranton. After we got married, and she was content to be in Scranton, we rode around the Scranton area for months looking where we could purchase a house. If you know anything about Scranton, there are many mine subsidences and mine fires in the area. Finally, on February the 3rd, 1966, we prayed and asked the Lord to show us a house. We hadn't done that up until that time. The following day, the mechanical superintendent at the Lebanon Daily News wrote a letter offering me a job. The next day, my dad got the letter in Shenandoah and decided to visit us and deliver the letter. We read it and decided, after praying, a job in Lebanon is God's will, and it would give her the desires of her heart. And exactly 1 month later, March the 3rd, we signed the papers to purchase the house that was under construction in Palmyra. And that was 2 weeks after I started working in Lebanon. And it was exactly the price we felt we could afford. And I actually got lost 3 times trying to buy that house. But of course, that's another story. And just to show you how God directs, after moving to Palmyra, the first Sunday we attended a church which had published the doctrinal statement in the Daily News, thinking this would be the place where we would be worshiping without asking God about it. But after the service, we had the feeling, no, that wasn't it. The next Sunday, we had attended another church without asking God. Again, we didn't have peace because it was in Lebanon, and we thought, it takes us almost a half hour to get there. And that's going to be an hour each way. If there's something closer by, we've got to check out some other churches. So after praying for a couple of days, we called the CEF office, and the assistant director recommended a church she had never attended. And that was the church we attended and became highly involved with for the next 39 years. I remember driving by the building the day before our first visit. The metal roof was rusting and the shingles were falling off the side. It looked as if the front door was jimmied. Yes, I found out later, some people used a penknife to open the door when nobody had a key. That, by the way, was Campbelltown Bible Church. And I saw that church grow from 65 in Sunday school, but only 42 in the morning worship service and 30 at night, the first week that I attended. And I saw it grow to 1,300 when it became Lebanon Valley Bible Church, when the new building was built on 322 just west of Fontana. And then I saw what happens when people do not trust the Lord and want their own way. As the church went through 2 church splits in 2 years, and the attendance dropped down to around 200. And they had a very big missions program, which 50% of their income went to support missionaries, and they had to cut some of them out. My first wife died in February 2000, and a week before she passed to glory, she told me, "Don't lose your head over another woman and neglect your children and grandchildren because they need you. Don't get involved with another family." And a year later, I was thinking what I wanted to do with my... I was thinking of even moving over to the West Shore, selling my house in Palmyra and moving to the West Shore. But I didn't have peace about it. And I remember saying to God, "God, it's impossible not to get involved with another family." And 2 days later, I picked up the newspaper, and there was this story about the county commissioners resigning from the party committee because the committee endorsed the sheriff for re-election, but they sued the sheriff, and so they resigned in protest. And the next night I was doing my laundry, and I was going to give Bill Carpenter a call and tell him thank you for sticking up for your principles. And Arlene's name came to my mind. I hadn't seen her, talked to her in 10 years. And I decided I'm going to call her instead, because I knew that a week after she got laid off at the Daily News in 1991, after 35 years, Carpenter had a job for her in the courthouse a week later. So I called her instead. The only thing I worked with her at the news for 25 of her 35 years there. And the only thing I knew about her was she was very professional in her work. And so after telling God it was impossible not to get involved with another family, I ended up calling her instead. And in the middle of the conversation, my dryer buzzer went and I hung up abruptly on her, of all things. And if it wasn't for that dumb stunt, I probably never would have called her back. But I called her back the next day. And I took her out for dinner. And that started a relationship, even though it was only once a month. And after dating 15 years, we got married. In fact, she wanted to wait another year. And I talked her into getting married at age 64. And we had 14 wonderful years together until she was translated to heaven last October the 17th. Most of you know Arlene was an only child, and her mother died 19 years earlier and father 18 years earlier, and she lived alone on the farm with the cat. Actually, it was four cats because three of them were in the shop. And several times before she passed to eternity, she told me she was concerned about me living alone in the farmhouse, because she knew what it was to live there for 18 years that way. After she died, Psalm 37:5 had been going through my head for months when I received a phone call from Gloria Gaffney to offer her condolences, because she had met Arlene 14 and a half years earlier, the last day that I worked in Harrisburg, because I was asked to bring Arlene with me that day. And she saw her obituary a week after Arlene died in the Hershey Merchandiser. And normally she didn't pick up the Hershey Merchandiser, but for some reason that day she did. And when she opened it up on her kitchen table, it opened it up to the page with the obituaries. And Arlene's was right in the optical center of the page. So she ripped it out and put it on a shelf. And several months later, it got wet. It fell off the shelf and it got wet. And when it dried, she called me to offer her condolences. After a week of prayer and not being able to get her name out of my head, I called Gloria to take her to lunch to find out what happened to her in the previous 15 years. You see, between 15 and 19 years ago, we both worked for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Department of State, Bureau of Professional and Occupational Affairs. She worked for the Engineers Board, and I did the printing for 27 licensing boards on the fifth floor of a block-long building, and I often talked to her when I used the copy machine across from her cubicle. After I was laid off at the Daily News after 31 years, I took the state civil service test. As a result, I was called for 3 interviews at the Bureau of Professional and Occupational Affairs. 1 interview was by the administrator of the legal division. He recommended that I be hired so that he could train me before he retired in a few weeks. The next interview was for a position in the reception area on the second floor. The commissioner's secretary was one of the interviewers and learned that I had worked as a printer. She told the commissioner about me because the next day was the last for the person operating the print room. So the next morning, the commissioner informed the administrator that he wasn't going to get me, that they were going to use me in the print room. You see, if I had been given that job as an administrator, I probably would have never met Gloria, because the legal division was located on the 3rd floor, and she was working on the 5th floor. And I don't think she ever met some of the lawyers that were down there. Now she's shaking her head no. Well, anyway, I called Gloria to take her to lunch to find out what happened in those previous 15 years that I hadn't seen her, talk to her. That lunch started a relationship which resulted in our marriage, April 15th. We both were convinced that God orchestrated things over the years which resulted in our marriage. It's amazing how God brought us together, and our values, likes, and dislikes are so similar. She had been a widow for 9 years, and 6 years ago when she moved to Palmyra, she started praying for her husband. And after 3 years of no answer, she told God she would be satisfied in her present state and committing to serving him in whatever he has for her. As a result, she was ministering to fellow residents in the Palmview Apartments in Palmyra, where she had lived for these last 6 years. By praying for people's needs and helping them, even in providing food for them and going to the grocery store for groceries for them and all kinds of jobs. And she even held a prayer meeting in her house every Wednesday afternoon for the needs of the church where she was attending. And there were some other people from that church came to meet with her. And again, when we commit our way unto the Lord, trust in him, the next verse, 37:6, says he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Righteousness is one of several terms in the Old Testament for God's people. It presents them as those who honor God and order their lives in all things according to his will. In every human relationship, they faithfully fulfill the obligations the relationship entails, remembering that authority and power are to be used to bless, not to exploit. When God judges, those not trusting him will not be able to withstand it. And verse 7 tells us to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And again, we are told, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, or because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. And so I pray that each and every person in this congregation and a membership of this, the Heart of Christ Church, will commit your way unto the Lord, that you'll trust in him and watch him work in your life. You know, last week, Pastor Rich emphasized what a little leaven will do to a lump. So So it is with our congregation. If you aren't committing everything to the Lord, the work of the Heart of Christ Church is being affected. Every person in the congregation is important to the Lord and the life of the Heart of Christ Church. I am thankful for Charles Gommer for continuing his commitment. He made a commitment to the Lord that he will go on a missions trip for 5 years to the Mosquito people in Nicaragua. And he returned on the 31st of May from his fourth trip there. Next Sunday, Bob McBride, who has been moved by the Lord, plans to spend time ministering to the Philly market culture, which means being there at 5 a.m. And then his wife, Eva, was moved several months ago to begin a prayer meeting for the needs of the church at their home the second Tuesday of each month. This next meeting will be in 2 days, and each one of you is invited to attend. And then, of course, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Rich told us about a fellowship in the Hagerstown, Maryland area that wants to organize as a church and wants our help in this effort. As a church, we must commit our way unto the Lord, trusting in Him to bring these things to pass. Are you ready to commit your way unto the Lord, to see what He does with each one of us? I pray that you do. And may we see great things happen in the days ahead. And may we honor the Lord in all things. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have given us. We thank you for this church. We thank you for directing to organize it. And we thank you for each one involved and all of the things that have to be done every Sunday morning for us to meet here. We thank you for this facility that you have given us. And we thank you, Lord, that you can be honored and glorified here. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us may commit our way unto you, trusting you for all things. And you might be honored and glorified in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.